Joining Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today's class will be given by His Grace Hari Prasad Prabhuji on glorious.
Mataji, glorious is, Mataji, his name is Hari Parshad Prabhu.
Yes, Mataji. Today's class will be given by His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhuji on the topic glorious tradition of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, you are there on the call.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, I'm here.
Please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and joining this Bhakti Sangha conference call. We are really fortunate to have you on this call, Prabhuji. And thank you so much. You can take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My pranams to all the wonderful devotees who have joined from so many different places around the world. All glories to Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the glorious Guru Parampara. I would like to begin with Mangala Charan. Mangala Charan is our standard practice. That is, we offer auspicious invocations to the Supreme Lord as well as to our Guru Parampara. So I'd like to begin with Mangala Charan. Most of us know these verses, so you can sing along with me. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripandamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishay Namah E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, dear devotee. I had requested a specific verse to be displayed on the screen. This was Srimad Bhagavatam 6th Canto, 16th Chapter, verse number 51. So, is that verse displayed on the screen right now?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Thank you so much, dear devotees. So, dear devotees, today we are discussing on the glorious tradition of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And I would like to begin with this wonderful verse which is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse is in the 6th canto, 16th chapter. This is verse number 51, where King Chitraketu is meeting the Supreme Lord Anantadev. And this verse is as follows. Aham vai sarva bhutani bhutatma bhuta bhavanaha Shabda brahma param brahma mamo bheshashvati tanu. The translation says, all living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansion and are separate from me. I am the super soul of all living beings who exist because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. These two forms of me, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. They are not material. So dear devotees, this is a very special verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because this verse is being spoken by Lord Anantadev himself. And Lord is saying to King Chitraketu something very special. He is saying, Aham Vai Sarva Bhutani. Actually, I am everything that exists within this material world as well as spiritual world. Whatever is there, moving or non-moving, actually it has all come from me. Bhutatma, I am the super soul sitting within each and everyone. Bhuta Bhavanaha, and I am the maintainer of all moving and non-moving entities. Then he says something very important. Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mama Ubhe Shashwati Tanu. Mama Ubhe Shashwati Tanu. Ubhe, these two are Shashwati Tanu. These are my eternal forms. Which are my eternal forms? Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Dear devotees, these two are very important forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that are eternally present within the material world. Ideally, we should memorize these two technical terms. First is known as Shabda Brahma, second is known as Param Brahma. So Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma, these are the two eternal forms of the Supreme Lord which are present within the material world as well as the spiritual world. What is Shabda Brahma and what is Param Brahma? This I will explain. Param Brahma is the Supreme Lord having a threefold bending form as Lord Krishna, a spiritual form made out of Sat, Chit and Anand. As the Brahma Samhita says, Ishwaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Sat Chidananda Vigraha. So Ishwaraha Paramaha Krishnaha, Krishna is the Supreme Ishwar, Satchidananda Vigraha. So his spiritual body is made out of these elements, Sat, Chit and Ananda. So this threefold bending form who's playing a flute on the banks of the Yamuna in Vrindavan is Param Brahma. And what is Shabda Brahma? Shabda Brahma is his form as sound vibration. So what is his form as sound vibration? Srila Prabhupada says in the translation, I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So Srila Prabhupada first and foremost mentions Omkar or Pranav as the transcendental sound vibration, which is Shabda Brahma. So this Omkar represents Lord Krishna. Actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, Pranavoham Sarva Vedeshu. In all the Vedas, I am Pranav or I am Omkar. So Shabda Brahma is nothing but Lord Krishna appearing in the form of words. Whenever Lord Krishna appears in this world in the form of transcendental words, that is known as Shabda Brahma. And whenever Lord Krishna appears in his beautiful spiritual form, that form is Param Brahma. So these two forms, Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma, these are two eternal forms that the Supreme Lord has in all the worlds. However, there is something interesting about these two forms. Dear devotees, in our minds, we should have two compartments now. One compartment should be labeled Shabda Brahma, and one compartment should be labeled Param Brahma. So these are two compartments for these two eternal forms that the Supreme Lord takes within this material as well as the spiritual world. Now I would like to speak something more on these two forms, because one of our acharyas, very glorious acharya, his name is Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan has given a wonderful explanation of the relationship between Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord spoke about Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma, but not much explanation about their relationship with each other was given. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan has written a book named Siddhanta Darpan, and I would like to read something from Siddhanta Darpan, which explains the relationship between Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. The name of this book is Siddhanta Darpan. Darpan means mirror, and Siddhanta means philosophical conclusion. So a mirror of philosophical conclusion is Siddhanta Darpan. This was written by Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, and it has a wonderful Sanskrit commentary upon it by the disciple of Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, whose name is Andhra. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says in Siddhanta Darpan, Ekameva Param Tattvam Vachya Vachaka Bhava Bhak. He says, actually the supreme truth is one. Ekam eva param tattvam. The supreme absolute truth is one. Ekam eva. Only one. It cannot be two. Most of us might have heard this verse. Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yad jnanam advayam. We have heard this verse. Vadanti tattva vidas. Those who are tattva vidha. Those who are knowers of the truth. Vadanti, they say, Tattvam jnanam advayam. That truth is non-dual, advayam. Non-dual means it cannot be two. Truth is non-dual, it cannot be two. The verse seems to contradict itself in the very next line, because in the first line it says truth is non-dual, and immediately in the next line it says Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti Shabdyate. That same non-dual truth is known by three names, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. If that truth is non-dual, it is one without a second, but it gets three names within this particular world, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. These are the three names given to that one absolute truth. So it sounds like some sort of a contradiction. But actually it is not contradiction. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, these are various categorizations of the absolute truth. Ekam eva param tattvam. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, actually absolute truth is one. But sometimes we categorize it in more than one category. So just like Srimad Bhagavatam says, absolute truth is non-dual, which means absolute truth is one. But then it categorizes that absolute truth into three. Similarly, Baldev Vidyabhushan says, absolute truth is one, but it is categorized also in a different way, in two divisions. What are these two divisions? He says, Vachya Vachaka Bhava Bhak. These two divisions are Vachaka and Vachya. What is Vachaka? Vachaka is denoter. And what is Vachya? Vachya is denoted. For example, if a particular person, his name is Ravi. So Ravi, this is a name which consists of certain syllables, Ra and Vi. These are the two syllables that make up the name Ravi. So these syllables are actually Vachak or denoter. And the particular personality who is born in a certain family, who has a certain height, certain shape, certain bodily color, that personality is denoted, is Vachya. So Vachak is the denoter name and Vachya is the denoted individual. So this relationship of Vachak and Vachya, denoter and denoted, exists in all entities within the material world as well as the spiritual world. Similarly, this relationship also exists between the Supreme Lord and His original name. Okay? which means that the Supreme Lord is the denoted Vachya. And he also has a Vachak. He also has an original denoting name. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan here is giving the same categorization, Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Because Shabda Brahma is the denoting name of the Lord. And Param Brahma is the denoted. So Shabda Brahma denotes and Param Brahma gets denoted. These are the two categorizations of the Absolute Truth which were spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright. So Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan clarifies Vachyah Sarveshwaro Devo Vachakah Pranavo Bhavet. So the original denoted personality is Sarveshwaro Devo, the Supreme Lord Krishna. And Vachakah, the original denoting name is Pranavah, Omkar. So basically Shabda Brahma is the original denoter and Param Brahma is the original denoted. And Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan doesn't stop here, dear devotees. He goes ahead and gives a very interesting fact. Now we have in our mind this wonderful relationship between Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Shabda Brahma originally is Omkar and Param Brahma originally is Lord Krishna. And we have this wonderful relationship now, that is Omkar is the denoter and Krishna is the denoted. So this Vachak and Vachya relationship exists between Omkar and Lord Krishna. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan goes ahead and says, Matya Kurmadi hi rupair yatha Vachyo bahur bhavet. But between both of these, the Param Brahma, that is the denoted, that is Lord Krishna, he accepts various forms. What are the various forms that he accepts? Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says Matsya, Kurma, etc. So just as the Vachya or the denoted personality, that is Param Brahma, accepts various forms in this world, similarly, the Vachaka or Omkar also incarnates in this material world in various forms. What are the various forms? Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan says, Vachakopi tatha rig adi bhavat bahurudiryate. The Omkar also takes various incarnations in this world, such as Rig Ved, Sam Ved, Yajur Ved, Atharva Ved, Itihas, Puran, etc. So it's not only Param Brahma who accepts incarnations in this material world. It is also his denoting original name, Omkar or Pranav, which accepts various incarnations in this material world in the form of the Vedas, the Itihasas, the Puranas, the Smritis, etc. So these two, Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma, are parallelly running along with each other eternally. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan finally says that Adyanta Rahitatvena Dvayam Nityam Prakhetyate. Both Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma are Anadi and Ananta. They are without beginning and without end. But Avirbhava Tirobhavau Syatamasya Yuge Yuge. But they appear and disappear. So just as Lord Krishna appears at a certain time in history and disappears at a certain time in history, similarly the Vedas also appear and disappear at certain times in history. So this wonderful relationship exists between Shabda Brahma and Param Brahma. Now, dear devotees, some of you might be thinking, well, today's lecture was titled The Glorious Tradition of Bhagavad Gita. And why did we divert in this particular direction? Because dear devotees, Bhagavad Gita is that literature wherein Shabda Brahma is coming directly from the mouth of Param Brahma. This is the wonderful significance of Bhagavad Gita. All other literature, it may be composed by various sages, including the various Vedic hymns, have been composed by various rishis. It's given in every Veda who is the rishi who has originally brought that hymn in this world. But dear devotees, the Bhagavad Gita is that literature wherein the Param Brahma, that is Lord Krishna, is speaking Shabda Brahma. He is speaking about his own self. He is speaking about Omkar within the Bhagavad Gita. So dear devotees, when Shabda Brahma comes out of the mouth of Param Brahma, that glorious literature is known as Bhagavad Gita. And this is the supreme importance of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srila Jiva Goswami has told all of us that if we want to study any literature nicely, we should understand 6 things about any particular literature. What are these 6 things that we should know? Any book that we may have in the world, Srila Jiva Goswami says, if you want to know what is the essence of that work, you should know 6 things about that particular literature. What are those 6 things? He has spoken in the Paramatma Sandarbh, he has quoted a very famous work. He says, Upakrama upasamharau abhyaso apurvata phale arthavado papatti cha lingam tatparya niranaye. He says, Upakrama upasamhara. First and foremost, see what is given at the beginning and end of that particular literature. So the first point to check is what is at the beginning and end of any particular literature. This is Upakrama upasamhara. This is the first factor. Second factor is Abhyasa. Check what is repeated again and again in that literature. Third factor is Apurvata. What is new in that literature which was not spoken previously? Fourth is Phalam. What is the result that was obtained by the original listener of that literature? Fifth is Arthavad. Does the literature itself quote any historical incidents or personality? And what does it want to prove by quoting those historical personalities? And sixth is Upapatti. And try to use your logic and intelligence also. The final factor is also to use one's logic and intelligence to understand what is the conclusion of the book. So Jiva Goswami says, Lingam Tatparya Nirnaye. These are the 6 indications which can be used to understand any particular verse. Dear devotees, if we try to understand Srimad Bhagavad Gita through these 6 factors also, we will come to the very clear conclusion that the Bhagavad Gita is speaking about bhakti. Specifically, it is speaking about surrendering unto the Lord, Sharanagati. Why? Because the first factor is Upakrama Upasamhara. How does the literature begin and how does the literature end? So the literature begins, actually Bhagavad Gita begins in the 2nd chapter, 7th verse, when Arjun surrenders to the Lord and says, Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava. And he says, Shishya steham shadimam tvam prapannam. He says, I am now surrendering unto you as a disciple. So unless Arjun surrenders as a disciple, Bhagavad Gita will not begin. The Bhagavad Gita began at the point of surrender. And what is the point at which Bhagavad Gita concludes? The Bhagavad Gita concludes with Lord Krishna saying, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraj. Giving up all other varieties of religion, surrender unto me. So this is the final instruction at which the Bhagavad Gita concludes. So the beginning and end it is at bhakti, that is saranagati or surrender to the Lord. This was the first factor. The second factor is abhyas. Abhyas is what is repeated again and again in that literature. This is known as abhyas. So So if we see in the Bhagavad Gita, what is Krishna glorifying the most in the entire Bhagavad Gita repeatedly? So he might have glorified karma in many places in the initial chapters, jnana in the latter chapters. But there is something which Krishna is glorifying throughout the Bhagavad Gita repeatedly, and that is bhakti, especially sharanagati. Second chapter, verse 45, 55, 61, 64, 70, 72. Third chapter, verse number 3, 9, 13, 15, 17, 30. Fourth chapter, verse number 10, 11, 23. Fifth chapter, verse number 10, 17, 20, 24, 29. Sixth chapter, verse number 6, 14, 18, 20, 30, 31. Entire seventh chapter, almost the entire eighth chapter, the entire ninth chapter, tenth chapter, 11th chapter, and especially the 12th chapter is about glorification of 13th chapter, verse 1 to 18. In the 14th chapter also, verses 26 and 27. In the entire 15th chapter, almost all the verses. 16th chapter, verse 1 to 3. 17th chapter, verse 4, verse 14. And 18th chapter, verse 18, 20, 52, 54, till the very end of the 18th chapter. He is glorifying only one factor, that is bhakti. So in this way, abhyas, or what is repeated throughout the Bhagavad Gita, is nothing but bhakti. So this is abhyas, or the second factor. And according to this second factor, also bhakti is the essential message of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Third is apurvata. Apurvata means what is new in the shastra which was never offered previously. What is new in the shastra which was never offered previously to anyone else? What is new in this particular literature, Bhagavad Gita, which was never offered previously, is that Krishna never spoke this Bhagavad Gita previously, because Krishna never found a candidate like Arjuna for speaking this Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said to Arjuna that bhaktosi me sakha chete. I am speaking to you because you are my bhakta, you are my sakha. There were so many other personalities in the Mahabharata, but the Bhagavad Gita was spoken only to a bhakta. So this is apurvata, that the candidate, the devotee is there and he has bhakti. And because the candidate has bhakti, for this reason, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken to that particular candidate. So apurvata, what is new in the literature which was not present earlier, is also the presence of bhakti in the candidate. Next is phalam. What is the result which is obtained by studying this particular literature? So the result which is obtained by studying this literature is the same result that Arjuna obtained. That is man mana bhav mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. So Arjuna also did the same, and Arjuna followed the instructions of Lord Krishna, that is to fight the war. So acting according to the instructions of Krishna is the result that we obtain by studying the Bhagavad Gita. And acting according to the instructions of Krishna is nothing but bhakti, or serving him. So this is phalam. This is the fourth factor. Fifth factor is arthavad. Has Krishna quoted any examples or any personalities in the Bhagavad Gita itself? So he has quoted certain personalities in the Bhagavad Gita. Whom has he quoted? He has quoted the names of Prahlad Maharaj. That amongst the demons, I am Prahlad. Okay, he has quoted the name of Janak Maharaj also in the Bhagavad Gita. So Prahlad himself is a wonderful devotee. And Janak Maharaj is the father-in-law. He is also a wonderful devotee of Lord Krishna. So what do these personalities have in them in common? These personalities are having bhakti. So the examples which Lord Krishna has quoted in the Bhagavad Gita also mainly are highlighting bhakti. And last is upapatti. Logically, if we try to think, what is there in the Bhagavad Gita which is unique to Bhagavad Gita from all logical points of view? The aim of Bhagavad Gita is to help one surrender to the Supreme Lord. So according to these six factors, the Bhagavad Gita is emphasizing nothing but bhakti. And for this reason, this Bhagavad Gita has been given such importance and such prominence in the entire Vedic tradition. If we try to see the number of commentaries that have been written upon Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the number of commentaries will easily cross the mark of 100. And I am speaking about the popular commentaries. I am not speaking about the rare commentaries. Practically anyone who wishes to start a sampradaya has to write a commentary on Prasthanatrayi. Prasthanatrayi is three important literatures or three important philosophical works. The three important philosophical works are Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, and Bhagavad Gita. So all those who have started a sampradaya of their own, they have commented upon Prasthanatrayi, of which Bhagavad Gita is of prime importance. If we try to see which is the first available commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, so we will come to know, if we trace, that the first available commentary on the Bhagavad Gita in history, as far as we can trace back, we see the first commentary on Bhagavad Gita was written by Adi Shankaracharya. It is Adi Shankaracharya who also gave the names of the various chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So like we have the names of the chapter Arjuna Vishad Yoga is the name of the first chapter. So these names were originally mentioned in the commentary of Adi Shankaracharya on the Bhagavad Gita. He is given the names for these individual chapters. His commentary is named Advaita Bhashya because he has commented on the Bhagavad Gita from an impersonal point of view, where he has established Brahman as the topmost entity, even above the personal form of Lord Vishnu. This conclusion is not acceptable to the Vaishnavas. At the same time, Adi Shankaracharya is the original or the first commentator, because before him also there were many commentaries, but those commentaries are no longer traceable. His is the first available Sanskrit commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada, he quotes a verse from Adi Shankaracharya's commentary in his own Bhagavad Gita as it is, wherein Srila Prabhupada in the very beginning, he says, Narayana paro vyaktad. So this quote that Srila Prabhupada has taken from Adi Shankaracharya's commentary, so this commentary by Adi Shankaracharya is the first commentary, and Adi Shankaracharya also has a sub-commentator, which means that there is a sub-commentary which further explains the commentary of Adi Shankaracharya. This sub-commentary is by a personality named Anand Giri, who is in the disciplic succession of Adi Shankaracharya. Now, this commentary was not acceptable to the Vaishnavas. Within 50 years of Adi Shankaracharya writing a commentary, there was immediately another commentary written by a personality named Bhaskaracharya. Now, the Bhaskaracharya is a very glorious personality because he is the one who wrote Surya Siddhanta. All of us know that our Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is known as Siddhanta Saraswati because he was a master of this particular literature named Surya Siddhanta. but the personality who originally received Surya Siddhant from the sun god, his name is Bhaskaracharya. And that same Bhaskaracharya was not happy with the commentary of Adi Shankaracharya. So, because he was not happy with the commentary of Adi Shankaracharya, and he wrote one particular verse. He said, Sutrabhipraya Samvritya Swabhipraya Prakashanat Vyakhyanam Yairidam Shastram Vyakhyayam Tannim Prittaye. He says, under the guise of the original verses of the Bhagavad Gita, somebody has inserted their own ideas. So he is indirectly referring to Adi Shankaracharya. And he says, Vyakhyayam tan nivritte. I am writing my commentary to counteract the opinions of that particular personality. So within 50 years, Bhaskaracharya wrote another commentary. Unfortunately, his commentary is not available fully. His commentary was published only in 1965, whereas Adi Shankaracharya's commentary has been popular like forever. His commentary was first published in 1965, and that commentary is also available only till the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So this is Bhaskaracharya, and his philosophy is Bheda Bheda. It's, you know, Bheda as well as Abheda. Our philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda, but Bhaskaracharya's philosophy is Bheda Bheda. Now, the next commentator in line is Sri Ramanujacharya. Sri Ramanujacharya's commentary is Vishisht Advaita Bhashya, in which Sri Ramanujacharya has accepted that Brahman exists, but Brahman is Vishisht. The Brahman also has many spiritual qualities within it. And actually, it is Lord Narayan, Lord Vishnu, who is the intended personality to be worshipped and served. And this is the message of Bhagavad Gita. So this conclusion was established by Sri Ramanujacharya in his Vishisht Advaita Bhashya. And he also has a sub-commentator, the glorious Vedanta Deshika, who is an expert in all branches of Vedic knowledge. He became the sub-commentator and he wrote Tatparya Chandrika, sub-commentary on Sri Ramanujacharya's commentary. But Sri Ramanujacharya was not completely contradicting Adi Shankaracharya also. He was contradicting in some places. But in some places, there was also somewhat acceptance of Adi Shankaracharya's Siddhanta. But then came a personality who was completely diametrically opposed to Adi Shankaracharya's Siddhanta. This personality is the glorious Madhvacharya, whose philosophy is Dvaita, and whose Bhagavad Gita commentary is known as Dvaita Bhashya. So Sri Madhvacharya wrote the Dvaita Bhashya after Sri Ramanujacharya. And in this Dvaita Bhashya, he has clearly specified that actually Brahman is Vishnu. Vishnu is the original personality and Brahman is dependent upon Vishnu. And he also has a sub-commentator who is the very learned Jaitirtha. And his sub-commentary on Madhvacharya's commentary is known as Prameya Deepika. Dear devotees, then comes a very unique commentator, very special commentator, whose name is Hanuman, and his commentary is known as Pishach Bhashya. Now, Pishach, for those of us who know some Hindi, Pishach means ghost. So this commentary is known as Pishach Bhashya or ghost commentary. And the author's name is also Hanuman. So there is a legend about this particular commentary. This Pishach Bhashya, it is said that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was not the only personality who heard the Bhagavad Gita. There was also another personality sitting on top of the chariot in the form of the flag. That personality is Sri Hanuman. So it is said that a legend says that after the entire war was over, Hanuman came to the Lord and Hanuman said to Lord Krishna, "My dear Lord, I heard this wonderful literature from your mouth. But there is a difference between me and Arjun, that Arjun was able to render some service unto you by fighting according to your instructions. But I could not render any service unto you even though I heard such a great literature coming from your mouth. Please allow me to render some service unto you by writing a commentary on this literature." At that time, Lord Krishna said, "If you write a commentary, there will be a problem that people remember you as a one-pointed servant of Lord Ram. And if for the first time in history you render service to some other personality besides Lord Ram, then your reputation of being a one-pointed devotee of Lord Ram may get damaged. So I'm sorry, but writing this commentary is not recommended by me." So Hanuman is also very intelligent. He immediately took a subtle form. He immediately took a subtle body. Now this subtle body is nothing but the body of a ghost, Pishach. And he went to a nearby Brahmana and he told that Brahmana, "I will dictate to you a commentary and you write it down." So in this way, Hanuman is not the whole and soul of that commentary. That Brahmana becomes the writer of that commentary. So this is known as Hanuman's Pishach Bhashya. This commentary has been published in Sanskrit. But there is another opinion that Hanuman is simply the name of one Acharya. And Pishach was actually Paishachi, one of the languages spoken previously in India. So one opinion says that this is nothing but a Sanskrit version of a commentary which was originally in the Pishach language. And Hanuman is not that particular personality servant of Lord Ram, but just some Acharya. So there are two opinions about Hanuman's Pishach Bhashya, but it has been published by, there were 11 or 12 commentaries published by a personality named Bal Gangadhar Tilak in his edition of Bhagavad Gita. Now, there is also another personality whom we might have heard about. This personality is named Keshav Kashmiri. He also has a wonderful commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. His commentary is called Tattva Prakashika. It is from a completely Vaishnava point of view, which indicates that Keshav Kashmiri has written this commentary after he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then comes another commentary by a wonderful personality named Madhusudan Saraswati. This personality appears to be very confusing because this personality was born in Bengal around the 16th century. He wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he could not meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already departed for Puri. So he instead went to Kashi and he took initiation in Adi Shankaracharya Sampradaya. But within his heart, the fire of bhakti was still ignited. So his Bhagavad Gita commentary is a mixture of impersonalism as well as bhakti. So this dear devotee is an impersonalist who is striving for, aspiring for bhakti marga. In his commentary, he has some wonderful verses like, "Vamshi vibhushita karan navani radhabhat krishnat param kimapi tatva maham na jane. I don't know any higher truth other than Lord Krishna." These are some of the conclusions he has given. And he also says, "Yat bhaktim na vina muktir." Without his bhakti, there is no question of impersonal liberation. So dear devotees, this is an impersonalist who could not get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is striving, although he is initiated in Adi Shankaracharya Sampradaya, he is striving to attain bhakti in his lifetime. Now somebody might ask me, why are you glorifying an impersonalist like Madhusudan Saraswati? I am glorifying an impersonalist like Madhusudan Saraswati because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary glorifies Sri Madhusudan Saraswati. In many places, in 3rd chapter, 9th chapter, 15th chapter, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted Madhusudan Saraswati. And while naming him, he says, Iti Shri Madhusudan Saraswati Padah. He has used plural case for Madhusudan Saraswati. So plural case in Sanskrit is Adararthe Bahuvachanam. For denoting respect, one writes the name in plural case. For this reason, since Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur considers him to be a great personality, for this reason I am also glorifying him as a great personality. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur knows that he is an aspiring devotee, but on the Jnana Marga. Then comes Sri Vallabhacharya, who wrote his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, and he also has a sub-commentator whose name is Purushottama. Then another commentator's name is Neelkanth. Now this Neelkanth is a wonderful commentator. He belongs to Adi Shankaracharya Sampradaya, but his contribution is that he has commented upon the entire Mahabharata. So since Bhagavad Gita is within the Mahabharata, therefore by commenting on the Mahabharata, he also has automatically commented upon Bhagavad Gita. His commentary is known as Bharat Bhavadi. Now, one special thing about Neelkanth is that he also has a devotional side to him. His devotional side is that besides his Bhagavad Gita commentary, he has also written one book named Mantra Bhagavat. In this book, Mantra Bhagavat, Sri Neelkanth has taken actual mantras from the Rig Veda and shown how the pastimes of 10th canto of Lord Krishna are present within those mantras of Rig Veda. This is Mantra Bhagavat. And his contribution is so nice that our Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 23.116, has quoted Neelkanth. Srila Prabhupada says in that purport to Madhya Lila 23.116 that Sri Neelkanth confirms the existence of Golok Vrindavan in the Rig Veda. So this is a personality who has found Golok Vrindavan in the Rig Veda. And then Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse, a mantra from the Rig Veda in his purport. But this originally, this mantra was connected to Lord Krishna's pastimes by this Neelkanth. His entire name was Neelkanth Chaturdhar. His personality was from Maharashtra, specifically from Kopargaon district of Maharashtra. And this personality, Chaturdhar, this surname Chaturdhar, Chatur means four, Dhar means the holder of four Vedas. This surname later changed to Chaudhari. So this Chaudhari surname is basically the same as Chaturdhar, to which lineage Neelkanth belonged. Then there is the famous Sridhar Swami, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani. Sridhar Anugata Karo Bhagavat Vyakhyan. Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to say, Sridhar Swami is everybody's guru in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So Sridhar Swami Guru Karimani. He also has written a commentary named Subodhini. So Sridhar Swami says, I have studied the commentary of Adi Shankaracharya and I am writing a commentary named Subodhini on Bhagavad Gita. Then there are various other commentators on the Bhagavad Gita. I will briefly mention their name. There is the glorious Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he is the shining star of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has brought out the essence of Bhakti Yoga. And his commentary is a rasic commentary which all the connoisseurs of poetry and all the connoisseurs of Bhakti Ras will thoroughly enjoy reading his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And his Shiksha disciple is Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, who has written an erudite scholarly commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. So both these Guru and disciple are the shining stars of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya who have written their respective commentaries upon the Bhagavad Gita. Then there are also various other commentators. There is one commentator in our Guru Shishya Parampara of our Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which Prabhupada has given in the Bhagavad Gita. There is one personality in the Madhva Sampradaya. His name is Vidyanidhi. So there is also a very rare commentary by Vidyanidhi from the Madhva Sampradaya. His commentary is called Madhva Matanu Vartini. That commentary was published once, and that commentary has fortunately been preserved and digitized. Then there are other commentators, Dhanpati Suri, Daivakya Pandit, Raghavendra, as well as there is also a personality who belongs to Lord Shiva's Sampradaya, but he also is interested in writing a commentary on Lord Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. This personality is from the impersonalistic Sampradaya of Lord Shiva from Kashmir. His name is Abhinav Gupta. So Abhinav Gupta belongs to the impersonalist monistic Shaiva Sampradaya, but he also wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita because of being attracted to the Bhagavad Gita. Dear devotees, amongst all these commentaries of Bhagavad Gita, the Vaishnava commentators have brought about the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, which is. And amongst these Vaishnava commentators of the Bhagavad Gita, the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentators especially are the ones who have highlighted Krishna Bhakti. And amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnava commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, the final essence was brought to us in the form of the wonderful Bhagavad Gita as it is literature, which was presented to all of us by Srila Prabhupada. Bhagavad Gita was also translated by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote two commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, Vidvat Ranjan and Rasik Ranjan. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada also wrote his Bhagavad Gita as it is. And this Bhagavad Gita as it is was written in three editions. First was the Collins edition, which came out in 1966. Then there was the Macmillan edition. And we also have the current edition, which we are having in ISKCON. So these editions are there of Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. And this Bhagavad Gita as it is has made millions of devotees throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada is a representative of a parampara which goes back thousands and thousands of years. But this Bhagavad Gita has such a glorious tradition that acharyas from all paramparas, all sampradayas have come together and commented upon this wonderful literature named Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So whether it is an impersonalist from Adi Shankaracharya's school of thought, whether it is a Vaishnav from Sri Ramanujacharya's school of thought, whether it is Madhvacharya, whether it is Vallabhacharya, Keshav Kashmiri, or a personality like Madhusudan Saraswati, who is trying to find his way between bhakti and advaita, or bhakti and jnana, all these personalities are equally interested in the knowledge which is coming out from the direct mouth of Lord Shri Krishna. Sridhar Swami says, Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyai Shastra Vistarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapatmat Vinitrita. Gita Sugita Kartavya. Dear devotees, sing very nicely this Bhagavad Gita. Kimanyai Shastra Vistarai. What is the use of elaborating upon so much elaboration upon many other literature? Nyaya, Mimamsa, Ved, Vedant, Itihas, Alankar, Kavya. What is the use of elaborating upon so many other literatures and writing volumes and volumes of commentaries upon these literatures? Just Sridhar Swami says, Gita Sugita Kartavya. Just memorize and sing sweetly this Bhagavad Gita. Why? Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukhapadmat Vinistrita. This is the only literature in the entire world which came out directly from the lotus mouth of our dear Lord Padmanabh, that is Lord Krishna. So dear devotees, This is the glorious tradition that Srimad Bhagavad Gita has had. Its speciality is not only limited to one sampradaya, but its speciality is there across all the sampradayas which have been there in the Vedic tradition. But specifically, the greatest number of individuals who were affected by one particular commentary, that commentary was written by Srila Prabhupada, because by reading this commentary, there are thousands and thousands and millions of people became devotees, they are becoming devotees, and even in the future they will become devotees by reading this wonderful commentary by Srila Prabhupada. So it is my personal opinion that Srila Prabhupada's commentary represents the essence of bhakti in the Bhagavad Gita, which is what most people are qualified for in this age of Kali Yuga. Most people are not qualified for jnana. For jnana, one cannot be a grihastha and perform, one cannot reach the highest pedestal of jnana. In the literatures of jnana yoga, such as Jivan Mukti Vivek, it has been written very clearly that one needs to take sannyas in order to be a jnana yogi. None of the disciples of Adi Shankaracharya were grihasthas. All of them were sannyasis. He never allowed a single grihastha to be his disciple, because for jnana yoga, the ideal candidate is sannyasi. But most people in the world are not sannyasis. So jnana yoga is out of the picture for most people in the world. Karma yoga, most people in the world are falling in the category of shudras. For them, they cannot perform Vedic karma because they are not eligible for Vedic karma. So how can they perform karma yoga when the window of karma is very narrow for them? Whatever they do, they can try to offer to the Supreme Lord, but there is very limited window. And in that too, there are many stringent rules and regulations. And if somebody breaks even a single rule, then the scriptures will harshly criticize a person who has violated the principles of karma yoga. Then comes Ashtanga yoga, for which forest is the ideal place. One cannot practice Ashtanga yoga sitting in front of a TV in the comfort of one's home. The only remaining yoga which is applicable for all, one and all in the entire world, irrespective of Varna Ashram, is Bhakti Yoga. And the commentary which has got maximum number of people into the fold of Bhakti Yoga in this age of Kali Yuga is our Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. So dear devotees, I would like to conclude by offering my respectful obeisances to all these acharyas, no matter which parampara they are from. I am offering my obeisances to all of them because they have maintained this tradition of commenting on Bhagavad Gita for thousands of years. But most importantly, I offer my obeisances thousands and thousands of times to our Gaudiya Vaishnava commentators, especially Srila Prabhupada, whose commentary was able to bring about such a change of heart, drastic change of heart in the lives of millions of people around the world. Dear devotees, with this I would like to pause here. The glories of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. I am saying pause because I should not say stop. There is no end to the glories of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. The Ganga comes from the lotus feet of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita comes from the lotus mouth of the Lord. But there is a big difference between both of them, that the Ganga, if somebody starts swimming in the Ganga, that person will ultimately end up in the salty ocean. But if somebody starts swimming in the Bhagavad Gita, that personality will ultimately end up in the spiritual world, dear devotees. Thank you very much, dear devotees, for kindly and patiently listening to me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was a very, very, very in-depth, very beautiful presentation, very nice. I love the entire historical facts and the commentaries that you were talking about, and also saying that actually Bhagavad Gita had bhakti in the beginning, middle, end, and everywhere, and quoting the verses from each chapter. That was also very, very nice. Thank you so much. I had one question. This was about the commentary you were talking about. about Hanuman and the Paishacha Bhashya that you were saying.
Yes.
So by any chance, does it ascribe to any of these sampradayas in any way in terms of the content of the commentary?
Yeah. So the person who published Hanuman's commentary is a person from Maharashtra. He's a famous personality. His name is Bal Gangadhar Tilak. Many of us might have heard about him.
Mm-hmm.
So this person, he analyzed Hanuman's commentary, and he said that this commentary is aligning more with Adi Shankaracharya's point of view. So he said, I doubt that this is the same Hanuman who is the servant of Lord Ram.
Mm-hmm.
That was his conclusion. So he came to the conclusion that maybe this was some Acharya named Hanuman who wrote his commentary in the Pishach Bhash, in the language Pishach.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was an ancient language in India called as Paishachi.
Mm-hmm.
So this was one of the languages. So this is the conclusion which Tilak came to when he saw Hanuman's commentary on the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. Okay, Prabhu. And the Adi Shankara, you said sub-commentator was, I forgot the name. Can you please repeat the name?
Anandagiri.
Anandagiri. Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. I really like the class a lot. It was very, very wonderful. Thanks for the entire historical facts. Hare Krishna. Thanks for coming on the
call.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very beautifully you started with Shabda Brahman and Parabrahman, and you delineated the importance by giving chronologically so many acharyas from different paramparas. So how important it is for us to read, reread and understand and distribute this literature. This is a very classic, ecstatic class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So, Prabhuji, I have a question. You said about Gita Sugita Kartavya. Is that from Gita Mahatmya by Shankaracharya? That was
it is in the Gita Mahatmya. It is re-quoted by Srila Sridhar Swami in his commentary Subodhini.
Oh, it was re-quoted. Okay. So these, thank you, Prabhuji. These are different acharyas and how they wrote the commentaries in from different paramparas. It ranges over like the last 1,000 years, Prabhuji. In different centuries.
Yes, it is said that Adi Shankaracharya appeared around 900 AD. So that is the time from which the commentary culture begins on Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very, you have, rekindled our duty to read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita again and again. Thank you so much for this class.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat Parna. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Guru Maharaj ki. Very nicely explained, Prabhu, everything so much in the depth. Yesterday evening, one of devotee was asking why the Bhagavad Gita is spoken to only Arjun, not to Yudhishthira, though he was Dharamras, and not to the Bhishma, though he was so powerful. So, you narrated a little bit, but can you explain one time more, please?
Yes. The Bhagavad Gita was narrated to Arjun, not to Yudhishthira, not to Bhishma, not to anybody else, because Arjun is a person who is sharing a wonderful ras with Krishna. That ras is Sakhya. So, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali, he has listed 9 personalities who are the topmost in 9 rasas. So, he says, Shri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit Abhavat. In Shravan, the ideal personality is Parikshit. Vyasaki Kirtane. In Kirtan, it is Vyasaki, son of Vyasadev Shukdev Goswami. So similarly, when it comes to the Sakhya, so Rupa Goswami says, Sakhya Arjuna. In Sakhya, the ideal devotee is Arjun. So because Arjun shares that bond of friendship with Krishna, which nobody else on the battlefield of Kurukshetra shared. For this reason, Krishna said, Bhakto Sime, although you are my devotee, all right, Bhakto, see, that is correct word to, you know. This Bhishma is also devotee. so many others are also devotees. Yudhishthira is also a devotee. All the Pandavas are devotees. But Sakhacha iti. So he added that specifically. You are my friend actually. And it is the duty of a friend to help a friend who is in danger. There is a very nice Sanskrit verse about this. Karaviva sharirasya netrayoriva pakshmani avicharya priyam kurya tan mitram mitram uchyate. Just like if there is an attack on the body, the hand spontaneously rises to protect the body. And just like if there is an attack on the eyes, the eyelids automatically close to defend the eyes. Similarly, avicharya, without thinking, these things happen. Similarly, a friend who without thinking much comes to the rescue of his friend is actually a true friend. This is sakya, or this is true friendship. So for this reason, Krishna, without thinking much, Krishna immediately spoke Bhagavad Gita to his dear friend Arjuna.
Okay, Prabhu. So the main reason that Arjuna was the friend of Krishna.
Yeah. Right?
And Yudhishthira.
Yeah, not only was he a devotee, but devotee plus
friend.
Plus a very, the closest friend in the entire battlefield of Kurukshetra.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. And second thing, Prabhu, is Adi Shankaracharya. He belongs to which sampradaya?
Adi Shankaracharya actually started his own sampradaya. It is called Advaita Sampradaya. Adi Shankaracharya's guru is Gaudapad. His guru is Govindapad. And his guru, they say, is Shukadev Goswami. They claim their lineage to come from Shukadev Goswami, but there is not a Vaishnava lineage. Because Shukadev Goswami was also an impersonalist before he became a devotee, it is said. So they claim that their lineage comes from Shukadev Goswami.
It's not from four parampara, means certified
no,
parampara.
No, these are not Vaishnava sampradayas. The four sampradayas which we have, these are four Vaishnava sampradayas. But this is not at all a Vaishnava sampradaya. This is a Advaita sampradaya.
And Ramanujacharya is in the lineage of Adi Shankaracharya?
No. He is one of the four Vaishnava, authorized Vaishnava sampradaya. That is Sri Sampradaya, which has come from Lakshmi Devi.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam, Jashila Prabhupada. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. That Shabda Brahman and Par Brahman, so I just am curious a little bit that this can be applied when we are chanting the holy name also, right?
Exactly. Because all the holy names of the Lord are mentioned in the Shastra. I hope you are able to understand. All the holy names of the Lord are mentioned in Shastra. So because Shastra is Shabda Brahma, so anything which is mentioned in Shastra is also Shabda Brahma.
Yeah. And Prabhu, another thing, like you mentioned about because Arjun's rasa with Krishna was that of a friendship, that's why Krishna chose Arjuna to speak Bhagavad Gita to, but not Yudhishthira Maharaj or anyone else. So just a question arises from that, like we all have a different rasa with Krishna that we don't know right now. But then when we are reading these different scriptures, like maybe Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture that we are reading, so does that actually affect, like right now I don't know what is my rasa, what is my constitutional mood, that friendship or dasya, or I mean, but we do in the dasya bhav, like in a mood of servant, like right. That. So that then that means that understanding of these scriptural readings or study will also be affected by the mood that we are carrying, right?
Will our reading of Shastra be affected by the mood we are carrying?
We are carrying the question? Yes, Prabhu, yes.
Okay. So, the thing is, Srila Rupa Goswami has elaborated upon it in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. what happens is that at a particular point of time, within the heart of the devotee, a particular sthayi bhav means a permanent dominant emotion. This sthayi bhav is actually ras. Sthayi bhavo rasaskritam, it is said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and other literature. This sthayi bhav develops, permanent emotion develops within the heart of the devotee. So actually it doesn't develop, Rupa Goswami says, it is uncovered within the heart of the devotee. So after that, the devotee takes interest only in those specific pastimes of the Lord which are according to his or her particular love towards the Lord. But before that, one should study in general the entirety of Srimad Bhagavatam, and one should have an idea of all the rasas which are pertaining to the Lord. And after a specific rasa is uncovered within the heart, then one will automatically be attracted to pastimes which are describing that rasa.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhu. And this is like a really, really wonderful class about the glories of Bhagavad Gita, and especially for me, this Shabda Brahman and Sar Brahman, and also like the six characteristics of a scripture that you mentioned, it's starting with the surrender and then to like different the fruit also, and the uniqueness, and how Bhagavad Gita is actually predominantly representing bhakti. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji. Yeah, thank you for explaining in detail, Prabhu, the historical aspect. Prabhu, my question is, when was Bhagavad Gita like tagged as a Hindu scripture, you know, and restricted to that part of the region, Prabhu?
Actually, when was Bhagavad Gita tagged as a Hindu scripture, this term Hindu somehow became synonymous with people who are praying and practicing religion within the Indian subcontinent, and people who have migrated to other countries from the Indian subcontinent. So this Hindu basically means somebody who is, it is a term which has come into existence, and it is also there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So if you search for the term Hindu in the original verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita also, we will find this term. So this term has been there, according to Srila Prabhupada, this term came along with the Mughals who invaded India, and they used to call the people staying on the other side of Sindhu as Hindus. And then because there is a rule Rudir Yogam Apahariti, sometimes something becomes convention, that convention overtakes all correctness and incorrectness is thrown out of the window, and the convention becomes the norm. That is what happens. So this became a convention, that people started becoming labeled as Hindus. And then entire Shastras also started getting labeled as Hindu Shastras. Whereas the Shastras themselves do not contain the word Hindu. Actually, it's not there in the four Vedas. So this term Hindu is not there in the four Vedas. But still, because convention overrides everything else. For this reason, today people call it Bhagavad Gita as a Hindu scripture, especially with the modern commentators on the Bhagavad Gita. I'm not speaking about the Sanskrit commentators. When it comes to the English language commentators, previous to Srila Prabhupada, there were many commentators who labeled it as a Hindu text, because that was the only thing they knew. That was how they were taught, that this is a Hindu scripture. For this reason, in their English commentaries also, they started labeling it as a Hindu text. But Prabhupada took exception to this. Prabhupada did not want Bhagavad Gita to be labeled as a Hindu text. But Prabhupada says it's very clear, it is the song of the Supreme Lord Krishna for the entire world. Jagannath, Prabhupada used to say, not only Hindu Nath.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanavad Pranam, Prabhu.
No problem, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, is there any question? They can go ahead, Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji.
Okay. Yes, Prabhu, there's two things. I wasn't able to catch when you were explaining the difference between Shabda Brahman and I think it's called Para Brahman.
Param Brahma. Shabda Brahman and Param Brahma.
Param Brahma. Shabda Brahman, I know, is the, you know, is the sound form of the.
Param Brahma is the form which is visible to the spiritual eye. The threefold form of Krishna which is visible to the spiritual eye is Param Brahma.
Okay. Okay.
So, and the Shabda Brahma is the denoter and Param Brahma is the denoted.
Denoted and the what?